Welcome to After Hours, an abbreviated After Hours, because you will have some Bears post-game coming on at about 10:30. We're going to continue on and interview some people from the carriage trade, and that will be posted online sometime tomorrow. Ben Anderson, as you know, is the producer of this show, and he's an extraordinarily capable producer. He has also proven to be something of an extraordinary talent scout. Ben goes out. I still am like confused by what he does, but he goes to
these, I don't even know what I do.
You do. I know what you're doing here. I don't know what you do outside of here. But you go to these, you often go and work at these sort of incredible aviation extravaganzas.
Yeah, air shows. Yeah.
Well, but you say air shows to me, and I'm like a city kid locked here. And
okay.
An air show is like when my plane to New York is on time. But they feature vintage planes, and what else do they feature?
You name it in the aviation community, and they do. But
experimental planes?
Experimental planes, active military aircraft, nowadays drones and the hover type aircraft, helicopters.
And this is an incredibly popular, I don't even call it a subculture, but a kind of under the radar kind of, you know, the Tribune isn't writing about, hey, come to the air show here. It's kind of under the radar, so to speak.
It is. I mean, everybody looks up when they see an airplane, but nobody thinks about everything that goes on in the aviation community, and there's a lot out there.
And you discovered, the last time you went up there, and I don't know if you discovered Teresa Eamon at the most recent one in Wisconsin.
It's been a few years.
You've been noticing her at these various shows. Well, let's welcome her to the show, because you're going to do the interview.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Teresa, I hope she's on the line at this point.
I am.
All right. Hi, Teresa.
Great, because Ben is in here. Hi, Teresa. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Hello.
Because Ben is in here being my co-host for a while, but he also is the guy. I wouldn't know how to get anybody on the phone here for $1 million. Welcome to the show. You absolutely fascinate me, because you don't just appear at air shows. You kind of you appear at sort of recreated events of the golden age of the big band and kind of the 40s and 50s.
That's right.
How did you get into that? I don't think you fell into it. How did you find it and discover it? And you certainly, from all the pictures I've seen, you certainly dressed the part, I'll tell you that.
Well, I kind of did fall into it, oddly enough, but I have to go backwards a little bit further to lead us to where we want to get to. So I was listening to all of this kind of music, my mother's old record albums, from the time I was 4 or 5 years old. A lot of what I was listening to was Barbara Streisand and those albums where she redid a lot of the standards.
Sure.
So that was the stuff that I was listening to as I was growing up.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Which is home to the world's largest World War II air show, which is basically, it's more of a World War II experience that also has an air show with it.
Interesting. Interesting.
And it was through that my father was volunteering at the museum, and my dad is a great guy, but he has a reputation for telling tales.
Okay.
And he was telling all of these people about his daughter who could sing, and she was really good, and this was coming up on 20 years ago, and finally they got tired of him, and they invited me to come out, and they got a pizza parlor to sponsor me.
How old were you at the time, and how scared were you?
20. I was just in my mid-30s. I wasn't afraid so much because I had been singing this stuff for a long time. Because at that point, I was living in Idaho Falls, Idaho.
And what in God's name were you doing there?
Oh, please do tell him.
Now, it's really beautiful there. But I thought the same thing when I moved there. And once I got there, I was like, this is fabulous. I'm a cold weather person, so the weather itself didn't bother me. And I was like an hour and a half from Jackson Hole and 2 hours from Yellowstone. It was heaven.
Hey Teresa.
It was really hard to get to these shows from there.
What industry were you in when you were in Idaho?
Just living.
You can tell us whatever secrets you and Ben share at the air shows. Go ahead. How did you make a living?
I was singing. I had started to sing So I had kind of stopped singing in my 20s and spent a lot of time listening. And I had two small children and had decided that that was their time. And when they got a little older and could spend more time with their dad, then I started singing at local restaurants. And that was where my dad got the idea, well, you should come out and do this air show.
So I had started to
build this singing thing again. It started at a karaoke event.
Don't they all? Yeah. Maybe Barbara Streisand didn't start singing karaoke, but many people, that is where they start.
That is. But I had been trained. I'd been classically trained in high school. I started voice lessons at 14.
Wow.
But then I, you know, typical artist.
Sure.
I had a little trouble focusing on what it was I wanted to do and getting there and stumbling and making a lot of mistakes and having to fix them. So I sort of started getting my musical act together in my late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I end up at this air show and thank goodness all these reenactors were like, you know, you really need to dress the part. And so they'd loaned me clothes. And
some of your dad's friends just happened to have these beautiful, like, 40s era skirts and blouses in their closets.
Yes. Yeah, so the World War II weekend has probably 2,000 reenactors, which are people that have all that stuff.
Wow.
So when I went there, there were racks of vintage clothing, and the question was just, could you fit into it? Because women then were a lot thinner than women now.
Yes.
And 20 years ago, I was a lot thinner then than I am now. And I found a couple of outfits and learned how to quickly do the makeup. And so I was singing out in a corner, and all of a sudden people are like, oh my gosh, Jim wasn't kidding.
Jim, you were right. This is the only true story you've ever told us, Jim.
Clearly you know my dad. just kidding.
I'd like to know your dad. I'd like to know your dad.
He is very entertaining. He's a great guy. And I really owe all of that, everything that I'm doing now, to him for getting me started. Because the next year then, I got a much better venue. And in a couple of years, it became... I was kind of the headliner. And then I picked up two shows at the Military Aviation Museum in Virginia Beach.
Mm.
And it was at Reading that Ben and my friend Connie Bolin heard me sing and started the gears rolling to get me out to Oshkosh. And
so Ben is not Ben is not so,
except
so,
for Connie well, what she wanted.
So the great thing, Ben, you are not just a radio producer and an aviation wizard, you are also now an entrepreneur on the level of Colonel Parker, who was
Elvis.
Well, but I think it's great that you discuss. What was it about Teresa? She's a very good singer. I've heard her sing. I've seen photos, but it must be the whole package.
It's the whole package. You just gotta see Teresa in person. It's mind blowing.
Wow.
That is so crazy, because I'll be honest, I am so insecure every time I sing. So when I hear you say that, I'm like, who are you talking about?
Who is this?
I appreciate you saying that.
Well, the insecurity, though, Teresa, as you can imagine, is part of any, you know, I'll bet, maybe not Sinatra, but I'll bet Streisand even has a moment of insecurity before she gets on stage, because you were putting yourself out there in a very abject and bold and unadorned way. You may be in a costume, but it is nevertheless you out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And these songs, the songs from this era, really are the full package. And so when you're singing songs like Round Midnight, if you've been through the emotions that the lyrics are trying to say, and you can sell that, it is an emotional
You're
exposing your heart emotionally, and you, that's a, if you're doing it right, then it is the whole package thing.
No question.
So when I see people crying because of whatever song I'm singing brings back memories, or it's sold the emotion or whatever, that's when I'm really moved and it keeps me going.
We are going to hear Teresa Eamon sing after a short commercial break, and we're going to keep her on here for about another half hour, if that's okay with you, Teresa, because you are now under the wing of Ben Anderson, entrepreneur, producer, extraordinaire. He's like Mike Todd. Mike Todd, you guys don't even know who Mike Todd is.
There'll be no living with him after this.
What? Hey, you don't have to live with him. I have to work and live with him. So thanks for carrying on, Teresa. Just hang on a couple minutes. But I will tell you to watch Mike and Joe, Mike Mater and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan, and my producer, co-host, Ben Anderson, and our guest, the one and only Teresa Eamon, who has a fascinating career. I know you've been listening for the last 10 minutes or so. Teresa, you have a sort of website, sort of ReverbNation.com/Teresa Eamon. That's E-A-M-A-N and Teresa with a T-H. Why don't you have your own website? Because I think you're a grand talent and you're under the wing of Ben Anderson. You should have your own website by now, shouldn't you?
Well, I probably should, but the Reverb Nation site actually does quite a bit for me as far as networking and allowing me to see other gigs and things that are coming my way. They also offer all kinds of opportunities for auditioning and things.
Oh, interesting. Good. Good.
Yeah. So there are some real benefits to having that, and it's all kind of what you see.
You also can sample some of your music on there too, which I have done.
And events are on there, and like if I put an event on Reverb Nation, then it hits all of my other social media with one thing. So while it is a little bit cumbersome, the trade-off is I can do it on an app on the road, and it updates everything.
Well, and the other trade-off is it's working for you. So what?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's working for you. Do you have aspirations, or do you perform beyond the events where Ben Anderson is likely to go, beyond these kind of, are you, I know that's your comfort zone, and I know that those songs in that era you have become incredibly adept at, but do you aspire to, or do you play, or is your dad out there saying, hey, my daughter wants to play at this hip-hop club, or whatever, you know what I mean?
Heavens no.
I will pay money to see hip-hop. Teresa at a hip-hop club. I will pay money for that one.
But you have found that you
have aspirations to sing bigger and have my music heard by more people.
Yeah.
I would like to perform with more live musicians than I've had. Although, you know, when I go to, in particular, there's an air show in Virginia Beach I go to, and there's an amazing big band full of retired military guys, and we always joke that it's our one practice a year. They throw the music down, start playing, and I start singing, and sometimes it's great, and other times it's a train wreck. But I really enjoy the challenge of that and performing with those musicians. I can sing other stuff.
I'm sure you can.
Okay. It's okay, but I'm one of these people whose voice was born for this kind of music.
How interesting. I know there are jazz singers I know in Chicago who also feel the same way.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, these are really, and some will make the excuse, oh, these are the greatest songs ever written. And I could absolutely agree with that. Ben, you've seen these people come in.
Yeah.
They are so much more comfortable because they can get inside, I think, and you were just talking about it in the segment before, your ability to sort of get inside the emotion of various tunes and transfer that to audience members.
Yeah.
Now, Ben can tell you that, pardon me, I've had to expand out a little bit because the planes have changed to a degree because of the aging out of the veterans.
Right.
And so, for example, at Air Venture, there's a lot more Vietnam and Korean planes. Yeah. And so I sing Patsy Cline, for example, and I do a little bit of all people, Aretha Franklin. And I'm telling you right now, I don't do any of those. I don't do any of her music justice. I don't claim to. It's a very white version. But Ben can tell you whether it's any good or not.
Well, you could dip into the Doors. I know you don't sound anything like Jim Morrison, but you could certainly dip into that's really interesting how you do have to alter that as the veterans of World War II. My father was one, not a flyer, he's a Marine, but as they begin to pass away.
And what I love, Teresa, is I understand what you're saying, having been fortunate enough to see you perform live, but to see you dip into those other, you know, other decades of music and genres, I wouldn't say that you don't do it justice. It's not the original genre style, but it is a fantastic rendition of your style.
Yeah.
And that's what I love seeing when you perform.
Let's hear something. We have a, Teresa, we have a, Ben has a CD here. We'll try to have Aubrey Mumpower, the world's greatest engineer, the world's greatest engineer, play one of the songs. You might as well, we don't know what's on the CD. Aubrey,
we're going to play
CD.
Teresa Roulette right now. Because I don't have the track listing for your CD.
Oh, okay.
So, we'll play something, and you'll tell us about it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
It'll probably be the worst one.
Oh, it will not. It will not.
On a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your like dreamers do. Fate is kind.
Teresa Eamon, that is just beautiful, I must tell you.
Thank you.
Teresa Eamon, who sings at places all around the country. Have you ever performed in Chicago anywhere? Like the Air and Water Show? I don't think the Air and Water Show has.
No, unfortunately,
they don't.
No, I tried out for America's Got Talent, though, and didn't get a slot at Navy Pier.
That's their problem.
You were too good.
That's their problem. They said,
you were too good. That's what happened.
No, they said, she's got too much talent. We can't have her on the show. These are all aspiring artists. How do you, Teresa Eamon, if I can ask, I certainly know you get paid for your various appearances. How do you make a living?
So I am the typical musician. I have done a myriad of jobs in my lifetime. I was a morning DJ for a while in Idaho Falls.
Neat.
That's what I was trying to get you to say earlier.
So that was a really hard job.
She knows our world.
It's hard. Well, we'll get into more of that just after we at this regular station in Chicago have to take a break and hear some news. But we'll hear you sing again, and I want to talk to you some more, as do I want to talk to Ben about his plans for your career. His plans for your career. Welcome back. We have a few more minutes with Teresa Eamon, who I wish was coming to Chicago to perform, because I'm quite taken with her singing and with her personality. Teresa, Ben, you wanted to ask Teresa something?
Yeah, Teresa, because I know... The song we played, I believe there's a really good story behind that, correct?
Yeah, there is, actually. That is the very first song I ever recorded.
Wow.
In a studio. And it was recorded in Idaho Falls, and they had a really great sound guy that I worked with at the radio station I was at. And he had a studio in his basement, and I recorded that song in the closet that he had converted into a sound room. So I was like, that's the day I came out of the closet. And we were doing a level check. So just checking to see, you know, if the levels were all right. And so I sang the first part, and I said, okay, you want me to stop? He goes, no, keep singing. And he went back in, and he took all of that out, and that is a one take.
Wow!
Shot.
Congratulations! Congratulations
on
that. So
that is the song, and I don't listen to any of my CDs because I pick them apart too much. But I will listen to that song, and I can honestly say there's not a lot I would change about that recording.
That's fabulous. That's a rare perfection. That's a rare thing. Where are your upcoming I know you can people can get it when they go to, as they should, reverbnation.com/Teresa Seaman. That's T-H-E-R.
No F.
Yeah, no.
Teresa Eamon.
Eamon. And I'm reading the whole thing. If you read it, that's how I read. It's yeah, like name. It's like there. Yeah, it's not complicated. T-H-E-R-E-S-A-E-A-M-A-N. And you can.
It is a festival
see,
of vowels.
See, it is. Yes, it is. It's a great crossword. Were you get to the time where it's a New York Times crossword puzzle clue answer. You are performing. You have some upcoming performances in October, yes?
I do. So I'll be back at the Military Aviation Museum. And that show is actually a World War I show.
Wow. What do you sing? What do you sing for that over there?
Well, yeah, that's one. And there are a couple of songs that, even though they are World War II, they're known for the World War II period, were actually written during the very end of the World War One era.
Good point.
There's not a lot of World War One songs I can do because a lot of those songs were like group songs, so I try to stay as close to that time period as I can.
Interesting.
But I wear the costumes.
Huh?
I wear the flapper costumes.
So, Teresa, the event is called Biplanes and Brews. Is that correct?
It is. It started out as a World War One show, because they have a grass runway there. And it was tough because if you have more than a slight puff of wind, those World War One planes don't fly.
Yeah, they're like kites or something.
If it rains or whatever. So they turned it into kind of an Oktoberfest, and maybe we'll do some flying too while we're at it. and so far it's worked out really well for them. That now that it's not really an air show, the weather's been great.
Teresa Eamon, you must have in playing all of these various air shows and meeting all of these remarkable veterans, you must have really developed a deep appreciation for them and what they did. Yes,
they are amazing, and I've been fortunate enough to meet some of the best of the best. So I can honestly say I have a good friendship with Colonel Bud Anderson, who's a triple ace. And the stories that he tells when you're least expecting it are the things that really move you and make you understand the level of sacrifice that these men gave. Even if they didn't give their life, they gave a huge portion of their younger years to go and possibly be killed. And they did the most amazing things with airplanes that people at that point didn't really know a whole lot about. I mean, it was only 20-some years after we started flying?
Yeah.
And
I mean,
but
when you think about that.
I would say, and Bud will leave you riveted with his stories, because he will tell you some of these remarkable tales of heroism, and then he will have you rolling in laughter a few minutes later with some of the outtakes. They is.
And nobody loves a margarita like Bud.
Yes.
I mean, and then you can really get some great insight. But, you know, Ben and I have been fortunate enough to meet Dick Cole. And then there are a ton of other lesser known pilots from World War II, Korea, and even up to, you know,
shuttle astronauts.
And they're all amazing people who are willing to give their life for the rest of us, and it is a privilege to get to know them and to entertain for them. And Bud in particular has a favorite song, which is "I'll Be Seeing You." And there have been times, in fact, there was a time this year where they told me I had to cut the set, and it was for Bud's set, and I said, "I'm not done till I sing 'I'll Be Seeing You,' and that's next." And I didn't finish my set until I sung his song for him, because at this point he's in his mid-90s, and you just don't know if this is the last time you're going
to
see these guys.
As we say goodbye to you formally, maybe Aubrey Mumpower will be able to find, I'll be seeing you, and we will close off that thing with that. You know, what you're just saying is you are performing for an audience that collectively, I know there are families involved, but the mostly men who flew these planes, I mean, that they are in possession of the right stuff, as Tom Wolfe called it, and it's a mysterious and alluring quality. There's no quite, and a courageous too quality about them.
It's true. Yeah. And we were lucky 2 years ago, they had the female pilot, her name was Penny, and I can't remember her last name now, mm-hmm. that flew one of the jets during 9/11.
Wow.
And if you ever have a chance to look her up, the story will make the hair on your arms stand up.
Well,
so
I cannot wait.
Men, but now it's women too.
I cannot wait a year or two when you with your producer Ben are playing the United Center or someplace like that. And I try to get
awesome.
And I try to get you back on the air, and you go, "Oh, we don't have time for you. We don't have time for you,
oh,
Teresa." I'll be watching your career
way too long.
And anytime you'd like to come back on the air would be fine with me. You're a great singer, and you're a charming.
I would say we might have to have her on after a couple events she and I have coming up, because we both have aviation stuff coming up in October.
Sure, so, I'd happily.
Yeah. We do.
Well, yeah. Ben, you can come on. You can both come on.
When I go to Oshkosh, I always drive, because I drive from North Carolina, so it's an 18-hour drive.
Oh. You have to go through Chicago.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to meet you. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is once again, Teresa Eamon.
I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree, and I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud. I can't understand, I get misty just holding your hand. And a thousand violins begin to play. It might be the sound of your hello, that music I hear. I get misty the moment you're near. You can say, I wonder through this wonderland alone, never knowing my right foot from my left, my hat from my glove. I'm too misty and too much in love. In love, I'm too
be back momentarily, and we'll get on the telephone the legendary Chicagoan J.C. Gable, now living in Los Angeles, but coming back here for a big, big book and show about the 1968 Democratic Convention here. Y'all remember that?